Greetings on this final day, my brothers and sisters. I thank you all for your encouragement this week and for your spiritual support. Truly, we are one body being knitted together by the Spirit of God, and He's using the threads of love, and it's a wonderful needlework to unite the body as one. It's a body being prepared for the cornerstone, which is the capstone of love. And so our necks must be straightened. Our necks should be aligned under the will of God. And when our necks align under His head, that is when the capstone will lay His head upon us. For He is our crown of righteousness that we so long for. And this beautiful image is shown to us in the book of Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, where there hangs 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men." Our neck is being builded up, and the protection and covering of the Lord is keeping us from all the enemy's attacks. Truly, our necks belong to one, and that is our Emmanuel. As the prophet Isaiah tells us, that Emmanuel shall pass through the tribe of Judah. And we read that in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 8. It says, "And he shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, and he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of the land, O Emmanuel." Amen. So let us hearken our ears to the voice of Emmanuel. Let us not harden our necks, nor our hearts, but yield to the voice of the Spirit, who is giving us the instruction. You know, there was 7 men chosen once to serve tables, and one of the 7 was called Stephen, who was filled with the Spirit. And during the day of his ministry, he went to preach, and we read in chapter 7 in verse 51 in the book of Acts, he tells them, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you." Let us not do what they did. They hardened their hearts, and they were a stiff-necked people to resist the voice of the one who was calling them. And in doing so, we would fail. We would fail to be attached to our head. And our Lord is coming down. He's coming down with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And He shall cap us with the capstone of love to lift us up. And we are in need to hear the divine instruction. It's important for us to receive it and to obey it. Look at what the prophet Jeremiah tells us in chapter 17, verse 23. He says, "They obeyed not, neither inclined their ears, but made their necks stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction." We know the instruction that the Spirit is giving us today is one, and that is to prepare ourselves, for the marriage supper of the Lamb is made ready. We are to be made ready. And we are so privileged to be preparing together as one body in the unity of faith, putting on the wedding garment of His Word. For without the proper garment of His Word, we would be cast out into the tribulation, into the outer darkness. And now there is always a phase of preparation. We see that in the books of Ruth and Esther. These were the only 2 written books named after a woman. And let us visit the first one, which is Ruth, and see the preparation and the instruction given unto Ruth. And it was Naomi who was giving Ruth these instructions. And we know the meaning of the name Naomi means grace. For grace became her new instructor to reach her kinsman redeemer. Ruth had to listen to the instruction of her mother-in-law, which is grace. And we read that in the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thyself, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the thresh floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking." And in verse 5, Ruth said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." Amen. Ruth did all the words that she heard of Naomi. She did all the words of grace. And when we do all the words of our mother, the holy city which is above, we will be given the redemption of our bodies. Now the mother of us all, as Paul puts it in Galatians, is the holy city which is above. And this is the wisdom that is coming from above, which is giving us the grace to walk in. It's giving us the peace. Jerusalem, which means the city of peace. And our Jerusalem from above is giving us the peace and the instructions to walk in grace. And so did Ruth walk, and she heard from the wisdom of Naomi. And Boaz, her redeemer, said unto her in the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verse 10, he said this to her. He said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed me more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou did not follow the young men, whether poor or rich." Amen. She did not follow any other man in the field. She stayed in one field, the field of Boaz, and she kept her eye upon her kinsman redeemer. She kept her eye upon his field. But what are the churches of today doing? They're all going and following after other voices of men, after the traditions of men. Whether poor or rich, they are leaving the field of Boaz, and they're eating their own meats and own dressing. Just as the prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "In that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel and dressing. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." So here we see that there's many women, seven women, they're trying to hold on to one man, and that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. And these women only want his name, but they don't want to eat of his bread, nor to be dressed in his garment that he is pleased with. They're putting on their own garments. And we know in the parable that Jesus told us that when the king of the feast came and he saw one without the proper garment, he told him, "How did you get in?" And he was cast out. So we are in need of the proper garment. And that is the word, the fullness of the word, by every word. And so it is with the true bride of Christ. She is putting on that garment. She is hearing the instruction of grace. And just as Ruth heard that instruction, and she did anoint herself, and she did put on that garment. So let us behave ourselves like Ruth did. And look at what Boaz warned her to do. In the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 8, Boaz tells Ruth, "Hearken unto me, my daughter. Go and not glean in another man's field, neither go from this field, but abide here fast by my maidens, and let your eyes only be on the field that they do reap." Amen. Let our eyes be only upon the field of love, the field of his word, for the reaping is surely coming. Look up, for the field is white and ready for harvest. And these are the words Jesus is telling us by His Spirit today. And we must hearken unto this voice, to look up. And because Ruth hearkened unto the true voice of her Redeemer, she was able to show more kindness in her latter end more than the beginning. Just as Boaz had told her that she did. And so it is with the Ruth of today, who is in the latter end of the seven church age of brotherly kindness. This is what will move our kinsman Redeemer to finish the work of redemption in our bodies. He is waiting for that loving kindness to be fulfilled in the bride, in order to give her the capstone of love. And so did Boaz do with Ruth after he saw her loyalty and her kindness in the latter end. Her kindness to his word, to hearing the instruction that he gave her. And so Ruth anointed herself and washed herself and prepared herself. And so did another woman prepare. And that woman was Esther. We see this preparation in the book of Esther. And we see the same thing, that Esther had to hear the instruction given unto her. And so was she purified in that process. And we read in the book of Esther, chapter 2, verse 17, that the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head. Amen. She obtained grace and favor, for she was wise. She was hearing the instruction. And she did all that she was commanded to do. And so the royal crown came upon her, and she was made the queen. And many women were bidden to the king in the days of Esther, but only Esther was chosen. And as Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, many are called, but few are chosen. And this is what we see Ruth asking Boaz. She asked him this question. And Ruth chapter 3 verse 10, she said, "Why me? Why did you choose me?" And Boaz tells her, "It's because you left all things and you followed after grace, who was her mother-in-law, Naomi." And so was it in the book of Esther. When Esther obtained grace in the sight of the king, he chose her and he loved her more than all. And so it is now in the third secret book that is being written. And this book is the Bride of Christ. This is the secret book being written by the Spirit of the living God. The third book is a book read unto all men. As Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God." Amen. God always completes His work on earth in three. And we know that there were only two books in the Bible mentioned after a name of a woman. But the third book is being written, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. We are the third book now being espoused unto one husband, our kinsman Redeemer and our righteous King. Paul said, "I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." The whole plan of God is to present the wife to his son. The whole plan is shown even in Abraham's life. Abraham was to take his only promised son Isaac and sacrifice him. And this was the shadow of the real promised seed. And later Abraham had to find a wife for his son. And so he sent his servant to go get her. And we see a beautiful scene when Rebekah was brought to meet her lord Isaac. We read that in the book of Genesis chapter 24, verse 65. It says, Rebekah said unto the servants, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And verse 67 says, Isaac brought her into his mother's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Amen. Isaac was the one to remove her veil and see his glory unveiled in the tent. For Paul says the woman is the glory of the man. And that makes the glory of Isaac, Rebekah. And the glory that was upon Rebekah was to be veiled for her man Isaac. Only Isaac would unveil his glory in the tent. And so it is now with the bride of Christ. She was to be veiled and given to Christ in order for Christ to unveil her covering. And when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he was the one that was supposed to unveil the covering. They could not go to him by reason of blindness. And we know that if only they had gone to him, he would have unveiled that covering. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, that their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. And in verse 15, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, whenever anyone shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Amen. There's only one who can take away the veil. And so God had sent a forerunner to prepare for the bridegroom. And he did come walking in the fields. Just as Rebekah asked the servant, What man is this walking in the field to meet us? So did Jesus come walking in the field of this world to meet his own beloved. And in John chapter 1 verse 29, we are shown how the friend of the bridegroom saw the kinsman redeemer walking. And we read in verse 29, The next day John seeth Jesus walking unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Not only would he take away the sins of the world, but he was the one to take away the veil. For only the bridegroom can take it away. Only then could we be able to see clearly the glory of the Word of God. But this veil remains covered for Israel, as Paul tells us, that only Christ Jesus can take it off. And as Isaac took off Rebekah's veil in the tent, so will the husbandman, our Lord, take away every veil that cometh to him. But how can we come if there not be a servant sent to take us to him? How can we know where to find him? How can we come if we hear not? And how can we hear if one is not sent? How could Rebekah go and meet Isaac without the servant of Abraham being sent to her? So let us thank God that he sent us our seventh star messenger, William Branham, to make us ready to go meet the bridegroom. For that was the midnight cry, to go forth and meet with the bridegroom, for he is coming. And so we too have received an instruction, and we have received the preparation phase to meet with our Lord. We have already met his word and his field of love, and the day is fast approaching, and that we will meet him in the air, to see him face to face. And so shall he remove the veil from our face, to see the perfect glory shining before us. Amen.